Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, and verse number 24, we'll read through the remainder of the chapter, but our focus this morning is going to be on a phrase out of verse 24, but Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning and an opportunity to look into the Scriptures. And Lord, we thank You an opportunity to hear from You and Your Word. Lord, please give all of us ears to hear. Lord, I need to hear, just as anyone else needs to hear this morning. Help us to realize what Jesus wants. Help us to hear the voice of our Shepherd. And Jesus, help us to respond to You. Lord, please keep us from searing our conscience or hardening our heart or being apathetic when it comes to Your voice and Your word. Lord, if there's any among us that are lost, they need Jesus, help them that they would be saved this very hour. Lord, also we pray that You'd bless Your children. Lord, speak to us and help us in our relationship with You. And teach us, Lord, how to live the Christian life in power and with Your blessing. We thank You, Father, for Your word. We ask that You would just speak to us in a wonderful way. Accomplish Your will this morning, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Recently, Brother Brian listened to a message online about denying self, dying to self, and it greatly benefited him. And then he went to the Her Heart Assisted Living and was preaching along those lines, so he gave me the outline that he was going to preach at the service there. And as I was reading his outline, my eyes was fixed on the little phrase, "Let him deny himself." And I really do think that the Holy Spirit of God said, "Tommy, you need to deal with this or share this at the church." And then we were able to come to our first men's meeting that we hadn't been at in a long time. And Brother Bruce taught along this line of denying self. In fact, he played a portion of the message that Brother Brian listened to online, and we listened to that, and I do believe it dealt with our hearts. And during the time of listening to that, Brother Brian sent to all the men the site where they could go back and listen to that message that he originally heard that stirred him, and he had sent to some, and it stirred them. I don't know how many men have an opportunity to listen to that yet. I purposely didn't listen to it till after this morning because I didn't want it kind of pushing my mind in a certain direction. But when you're attending church and God begins to deal with a man about something and then he grips another man about the similar thought, and he is impressed by the Spirit to pay attention to that. And I believe he's dealt with me about this text and this passage as well to share with the church. It means that God would have the body of us believers to really give some attention to this subject of dying to self and self-denial in order to be the disciple that Jesus wants us to be. In fact, I told Brother Brian, I said, I think it would be good for us to break down every aspect of what Jesus said here. Denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following Jesus. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me and be with me, these things are essential if you're going to be one of my students, one of my disciples, one that follows after me. So I want to do my best this morning to try to press on you. It may be that the Spirit of God wants you to give close attention to this so that your spiritual life may begin to flourish like God wants it to flourish. Jesus didn't just save us and then give us a ticket to heaven so we could say, now go ahead and do whatever you want, and then when you die, I'll meet you in heaven. That's not what salvation is at all. Salvation is a lifelong relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a following after Him. It's a yielding to His will. It's doing what He wants and not what you and I would want to do on our own. Amen. So it's important that you and I realize how vital this is to our Christian life. Denying self, putting off the flesh, resisting its efforts is key to really experiencing what Christianity is all about. If we let the flesh have its way, we're always going to be immature believers. We're going to be defeated believers. And we're going to be just one step away from just walking back in the world and being fully corrupted by the world. And that's not what the Lord saved us for. He saved us so that He can make us look more like Him, so that in the world He would be glorified. So, what does it mean to deny self? Denying self means first that we put Jesus in charge of our life. Denying self means first that we put Jesus fully in charge of our life. He's not just the Savior who saves us and forgets about us. He's supposed to be Lord over every single believer. Self-denial means that we renounce oneself as the center of existence. You know how many of us have a big problem with that? I don't want to embarrass my daughter. I'm glad she's not here this morning. What might embarrass her? She had real problem with selfishness. And when she would exercise her real problem with selfishness, I would say to her, you're acting like a selfish, selfish. You're being very, and sometimes her mother would say to her, listen, the world doesn't revolve around you. It doesn't revolve around you. And you know, our problem as Christians, even in our relationship with God, is that we think the world revolves around us and not God. The reason we are not doing well is because we need to put Jesus at the center of our existence, not ourselves. And denying self requires that first step and acknowledgement that we crown Jesus as King of our life. It's one thing to sing about Jesus being King. It's one thing to say that Jesus is King. The question needs to be, is He my King? Is He the sovereign ruler in my life? Does He have full control over every aspect of my life? Is it His will or is it my will? It's supposed to be, if He's the King of our life, it's supposed to be His will and not my will. Now we'll get into the struggle of that. But the denying of self requires that it is Christ's will and not my will. We are to bend the knee, a full surrender to Christ. It's not just that we bend the knee in Philippians chapter 2, and every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. It's that we bend the knee now, here, again this morning. We bend the knee and we say, Jesus, You are in charge. Your will be done in my life. When America was fighting against the Japanese, they dropped two atomic bombs on mainland Japan. After they dropped the second bomb in Nagasaki, 6 days later, the Japanese had a full surrender, full complete surrender. When you sign articles of complete surrender, you mean by signing those articles, there's nothing we're keeping back from you. Every city, every town, every home is going to be under your control. We're not going to have some little rebel authority over here fighting you. We are completely surrendering to whatever America wants to do with us. Just a little side note, America was very gracious to that enemy. And look what a great nation they are even today, Japan, because of our graciousness. We could have went in and took all their land and claimed it as our own. We didn't do that. But when we come to Christ, it has to be without any reservations. I'm glad Vicki sung that song this morning. She told her mother, she said, I don't know exactly what the Lord wants me to sing today. And the Lord led her to sing that song.
Right.
You know what? Sometimes in our own hearts, there's these places that we say, Jesus, you can have all of this. But I really want this room left alone. I mean, I don't mind you having this, but there's a part of me that I've got to hold on to that I really love and I don't want to let go. That is not denying self, that's denying the Savior. What Jesus wants and what He deserves and what is owed to Him is everything we are, every room in our heart, nothing held back, complete surrender.
Amen.
If you're going to deny self, it has to start here.
Yeah.
See, our problem is selfishness. And we're not going to start dealing with selfishness until we let Jesus have control.
Amen.
That's the first step of turning away from our sinful, selfish bent. It's to let Jesus take charge. My life is yours, Jesus. That is a complete surrender of self to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing kept back from the Lord. And by the way, this is what Jesus requires. He doesn't just require that you believe on Him and you're saved, okay, and that's it. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I don't know where we get that from. The Bible teaches that Christ becomes the boss, the Lord, the King of our life when we trust Him as our Savior. He said to some in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's inconsistent. Right? If I say He's Lord, and then I go out here and live the way I want to live, something's wrong. And that's why we have the mess we have in Christianity today. That's how you can get someone who's openly homosexual stand up and say they're a pastor of a church, and while they're preaching as an open homosexual living with another man, they can demand that you love them like they are. You used to preach, how in the world can something like that happen? Because people think they can believe Jesus and the facts about Jesus, but still live like they will to live.
Amen.
That's not salvation, friends.
No.
Salvation is when you surrender that sexual bent to Christ and you say, Christ, I no longer will violate the laws that you've laid out in your word, sexual perversion, but now I will live either an abstinent life or I will live according to the scriptures.
Amen.
But it's not just that area that that Christians are holding on to. There's a great large amount of things that we say to Jesus, Jesus, you can have those things, but you can't have these things. And self-denial doesn't begin until we first recognize who's in charge of our life. It's not us, it's Jesus.
Right.
Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. We share this when we're trying to bring someone to saving faith in Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
What are we to confess with our mouth? Not just Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're not confess. We're confess Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He and by the way, He's not just like a governor or president. He's far superior to any of those. Amen? He's the King of the universe. He's Lord over lords. We're acknowledging Him as the highest authority. The God of our life is what we're saying when we say, Jesus, You're in charge. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God has raised Him from the dead. That's when we're saved. Amen? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes.
And even Paul says in the verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when I talk about the lordship of Christ, I'm not saying that if he has to be complete Lord of every area of your life before that you're even saved. None of us can make that claim. Yes, Jesus is Lord over everything. I've submitted every room. We would be much more like Jesus if that was the case. Amen. Amen? He's still working on me. He's still working on you too. But even if I haven't surrendered it, he's still Lord. Amen? It ought to be. It should be. Right now, it must be yielded to him because he's Lord. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8, the Bible says this, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him. This is what salvation is. It's not that I pray a prayer and say, Jesus, save me. It's Jesus, here's my life. That's what repentance is, isn't it? Repentance is this. I am no longer going to live for me. I will now live for you. I wish people would start preaching repentance more, don't you? Amen. Repentance is not just turning. It's saying, Jesus, I've lived for myself. I've gone astray as a sheep that's walked away. Now I'm turning from living for myself, and I only want to live for you. May God help us all to do that. Amen. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? Which are God's. You may not remember this. You may not realize this. It may not come to the forefront of your thinking, but when, 1 Corinthians 6, 20, when you are saved, you belong to God. Can I say this to you? That's in the sense of being purchased by the blood of Jesus. We've been bought with the price, and we belong to God. We have no rights. We cannot live any way we please. I ought not do what I want to do. Why? Because I'm no longer in charge of my life. Someone else has taken over. I think one of the reasons that we don't practice as much self-denial as we should is because we soon forget who's in charge of our life. We leave a church service, we go home, and we go to work, and we have bills to pay and people to deal with and life problems, and we forget, look, it's not about all this stuff. It's about doing what my Lord wants me to do. And if I do one thing this morning, I hope I can at least remind you that Jesus is to be the boss and Lord, captain, king of your life. And you'll never be denying yourself if you don't keep Jesus in the rightful place that he deserves to be in your life. You can practice self-denial. You can practice self-denial and only increase your selfishness in doing it. Isn't that the case? In Colossians chapter 2, when Paul writes about those who willfully deny themselves. They're religious people that fast. How many of y'all know that? Muslims fast. They're all kind of religious people that deny themselves. They're people that are even unsaved. They go on lengthy fast just so they can help their physical body. They don't do it because this is what the Lord wants. They do it so they can say to others, hey, listen, I fasted last month. Or they do it for some other prideful reason for themselves. God doesn't recognize that kind of fasting. So you can discipline the flesh and have nothing to do with self-denial whatsoever. It is to be done because that's what Christ wants done. Not only is it that we recognize Jesus as Lord, we put Him in His rightful place, but it's putting the flesh in its place in your life as well. This is the battle. This is the battle that a lot of us face, and this is the difficulty that we come across in the Christian walk. Because there are two things in us that always are pulling against one another. There's this deep abiding desire to do what God wants us to do. It's present because the Holy Ghost of God lives in every Christian. It's a deep desire to do the will of God. And yet there's a part of us that wants to resist that. The part that says, hey, it's cold this morning and you need to go to church even if it's cold. Then there's a part that says, you know, wait till later on, it might warm up some.
No.
Yeah, listen, watch it on TV. In the comfort of your warm house. Right? And listen, all of us face that. The flesh is constantly pulling in the opposite direction of the spirit. And sometimes that battle gets weary to us. You know why it gets weary? Because we're letting the flesh have too much control. That's why we get burdened down and we struggle and it gets difficult. Is because the truth is, when that's going on, we are giving in to the flesh far too much. We have to constantly put the flesh in its place. It's not the one that's in charge. Jesus Christ is to be in charge. And the flesh is always going to be working to try to bring about a repositioning where he gets his way and the spirit does not get his way. Self-denial or denying self means not allowing the flesh to have its way when it's contrary to the Lord Jesus. Denying self means overcoming persistent fleshly demands of the body and bringing them in submission to the Lord Jesus and His Word. And Paul does a wonderful job in the Bible of helping us see this. If Paul did not give these scriptures, we would be at a loss. Most of us would probably quit years ago and think, I'm not even saved because I have these wicked desires, these strong fleshly desires, and surely Christians don't have that. And Paul said, let me explain that to you. Thank God he did, amen? If we didn't have these passages, I don't know where most of us would be. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter number 7. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 7. This is helpful to us. Look at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. How many of you have been there? Man, I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to memorize the whole Bible. I want to live close to God. These are spiritual desires that we have. I want to tell everybody I meet about Jesus and how He can be saved. I mean, I want to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, and yet there are desires that are evil. And I end up doing those things sometimes that I hate doing. You know who else said he did that? The Apostle Paul. That's Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's a fleshly part that still... By the way, some people say this is an unsaved man. I don't think that at all. This man, Romans 6, he died with Christ. Romans 7, he talks about the fleshly struggle. Romans 8, he says, here's the victory, and it's through the Spirit of God. But you cannot put this under an unsaved... Christians battle with this. Paul said this, for I know that in me, verse 18, that is in my flesh. Yeah, he qualifies that. I'm not talking about the spirit that's in me. Dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. Hey, let me say amen to that.
Amen.
But how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Okay.
And that, my friend, is a very struggle that a lot of us face.
Yeah.
All of us are saved, face.
Amen.
Amen? Paul goes on, verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. What is he describing? He's describing the battle between the flesh and the spirit. He said, the Spirit wants something, and the law says, this is what I should do, this is right, and the Spirit says, yes, that's what I want to do. But then there's another part of me that says, oh no, don't do that, do this. And I'm glad he ends that chapter in verse 25 by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so with the mind I myself serve the law, but with the flesh the law of sin, the law of God. Let me read that again. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Who gives the victory? Jesus Christ. He gave you the victory when he saved you. And he will currently give you the victory in resurrendering your will to him. Paul even describes it further in Galatians chapter number 5. This is where we get a lot of help from Paul about putting the flesh in his place. Paul tells us either we can walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. If we want to walk in the Spirit, we cannot walk in the flesh. How are you going to walk in the Spirit? Listen, you say, preacher, I'm struggling. Stop walking in the flesh. You know there are things that you're doing that is dampening the work of the Spirit in your life, and you can't keep giving into the flesh and think that you're going to have power with God and feel vigorous concerning spiritual things. The flesh always quenches that. And you get so depressed because you're like, I'm tired of living this way. Yes, because Jesus didn't save you to live under the power of the flesh. He saved you to live under the power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And you're grieved because the Holy Ghost of God is grieved in you as well. What does he say for us here? In verse 17, or verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This preacher, why is the flesh winning? Because you're not walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
Now listen, we all need help with this. We need Jesus to help us.
Amen.
We also have a role to play. We have to deny ourselves. When self says, hey, you know, you didn't sleep at all last night. You don't have to read your Bible this morning. You need to say, self, get back in your place.
That's right.
You're not in charge here.
Okay.
Jesus is. It's not about what I want. It's about what my Lord wants.
Amen.
And he wants me to spend time with him. So get in your place. You and I have to do that. Hey, did you notice this? It said, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny self. Who's going to deny self? You can, you're the only one that can deny self. The Savior can help you. He can empower you. But you still have to say, no, I am going to read my Bible. I am going to go to church. I am going to listen to God. I will pass out that tract. I'm going to do what God wants. Amen. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Boy, if the flesh never bothered us again, that's why I'm longing to get to heaven. Because he will never bother, the flesh will never bother us again in heaven. Amen? Amen. But he never bothered us again in heaven, in this world. Glory, hallelujah. Amen? Amen. But he will. Amen? As long as we live in these vile bodies, he will. He is a very present enemy, constantly trying to work. And Paul gives us some help. How can I deny myself? And Paul talks about this again in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Remember 9:27, he said there are men who discipline themselves for one reason. What's that reason in 1 Corinthians 9? To win a prize, a gold medal. He said they get up in the morning at the right time, they eat a strict diet, they exercise, they push themselves beyond exhaustion. Why? Why did Michael Phelps swim so many laps in the pool? One day so he could cross that line first and win the gold medal. He pushed himself and pushed himself and pushed himself and pushed himself and pushed himself just so they'd wrap something around his neck with a piece of gold on it. And Paul said they do it to win a prize here, but you and I, we have to have that same mindset of disciplining ourselves so that we can win a spiritual prize. And then listen to what he says here. But I keep under my body. This is what he says. I discipline my body to bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. Self, disciplining self has to be practiced in the Christian's life. In the early church history, they would take 2 days a week to fast. Now I'm going to say that you have to fast 2 days a week, but they did that on a regular basis. Why? To say to the flesh, you're not in charge. Amen. You don't tell me when to eat and what to eat. I tell you, by God's leadership, when and where and what. So I think a lot of us have let the flesh just get out of control in many areas that we're not even aware of, and we're wondering why the Christian life, and we don't even think, hey, I have to, like Paul, discipline myself and bring my body into subjection. Amen. You see what he's saying? It ought to be practiced. Amen. What are some things that you can do in your life right now to say to the flesh, no? My father-in-law is a wonderful Christian man. He's the one that led me to Christ. And periodically in his life, he'll say something like, I'm not drinking coffee. And he usually drinks coffee all day long. Wow. And every once in a while, he'll say, I've stopped drinking coffee. I said, why did you stop drinking coffee? He said, well, I just need to say no. I'm not going to drink it for a while. And on one occasion, he said, I've stopped eating chocolate. He loves chocolate. So you stopped eating chocolate? He said, yes. My flesh wants it, and I'm saying to my flesh, you can't have it.
That's all right.
And you and I need to learn to do things like that, similar to that. Things that we might enjoy doing that we know, hey, this is something I really enjoy doing. I need to cut this off and say to my flesh, flesh, you like this, but you can't have it. That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I'm disciplining my body. When my body has certain cravings and desires, I say to it, no, you can't have it. Get in line.
Amen.
How could I practice self-denial? Well, find something in your life that you really enjoy doing and say to it, no. I'm not going to do that. Is it ice cream at night before you go to bed? Is it eating honey and peanut butter? You know? He said, preacher, you're going to go on to meddling now. You're not preaching no more. Is it something where you can do this? You can find many things in your life. Say, you know what? I stay up too late. I'm going to start setting my time, a certain time to go to bed. Or I do this. I'm not saying that you have to be like a monk in a monastery, but I am saying that we have to find places in our life that we say to our flesh that want certain things. Flesh, you can't have that. You're not in charge. You're not the boss. We need to practice self-denial. We need to be persistent or persevering in our self-denial. Why? Because you may have victory now, but guess what? That flesh hasn't surrendered.
Okay.
It won't surrender. During World War II, England's prime minister, Sir William Churchill, made a memorial speech. And this is the flesh is Nazi Germany in this illustration. This is the spirit, his speech to the English people, in which he warned of coming perils. He described the advance of the Nazi war machine and admitted, humanly speaking, the cause was lost. Then he vowed to fight on the hills, to fight in the valleys, to fight on the rooftops, to fight in the streets. Then raising his voice to a thunderous conclusion, he stated, "We shall never, never surrender." He said he cannot promise an easy road to victory. He could only offer blood, sweat, and tears. When you go to fight that flesh, it's not an easy battle. That's why most of us don't do it. Amen?
Amen.
Is that right or not?
Yeah.
Because we know it's a hard battle. And by the way, you can win for a month. You can win for 6 months. You can win for a year. Guess what? That flesh doesn't want to surrender. Then he said, "In the end, we shall conquer." They did. They paid the price for their freedom, and the price for their freedom was justified. Amen? We have a more urgent battle even than World War II and the English people against the Nazis. Because Christianity is kind of in a low slump right now. And it's in a low slump in America because too many Christians are giving in to our flesh and not putting it in its place. And we've got to start re-engaging, fighting this battle, and pushing back against the flesh so that we can become more empowered by the Spirit, more led of the Spirit, and more controlled by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God help us to do that. Right?
Amen.
Let's stand for prayer. Father, please be with us this morning. Ask you for your help and for your grace.